You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
Hey, thank you. Welcome, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to all of our friends watching online from all over the world. Give them a big round of applause if you would. As always, if you like what you're watching, don't be afraid to hit that share button. It means the world to us when you do that. For everybody in this place, grab your Bibles if you would. We're going to spend some time in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1. Luke, I am your father. That's what I always think about because my mind's a little twisted that way. Luke chapter 1. Before Luke tells the Christmas story, he brings us some powerful verses that I think the Lord wants us to focus in on today. And so I want to just take us there to Luke chapter 1. And as we're turning there, let me say thank you for your generosity. You guys are an amazing and a giving church, and I appreciate you standing behind us financially. I want to say thank you to Bill last week bringing a fantastic word. How good was that? Those guys are taking a break this week in Broken Bow, Oklahoma. So hello to Broken Bow. And then to all of our friends over in across the pond, we've got a lot of friends that are there. We want to say hello to you. We want to say hello to our friends in Mineral Wells and Abilene and Fort Worth. All of our Texas friends, we know you, love you. We see you, and we're glad that you could tune in today. And then as you guys, if you were here a couple weeks ago, we also had a fantastic word from James. So Pastor James, what a great job you did on Thanksgiving week. Yes. 2 weeks ago, I was in Fort Worth preaching for Pastor Jeff. He was sick, and so I got a chance to preach to our family and our sister church there in Fort Worth, Texas, and bring a Thanksgiving message to them. And then last week, as you guys were stepping into church service, I was stepping off a plane in Geneva, Switzerland on a surprise mission. So put a hard pause right there. Just say about 3 months ago, I was talking to the director of a missions organization that we have some friends of ours that we had sent out. If you've been around with us for very long, you know that we sent out George and Lisa Berry and their amazing children. They're going to be missionaries in Cameroon. And in the meantime, they're spending a year in Albertville, France, right on the outside of the Swiss Alps. And so I asked their director, I said, what can we do to make sure that they stay healthy, that they know that they're not abandoned, they're not alone, they're not in this by themselves, but that we're a church family, we want to be a part of them. How can we make sure that they get the support that they need? And he said, you're asking the right questions. And that means a lot. He says, in about 2 to 3 months, he says, they're going to hit a wall. They're going to hit an emotional wall. They're going to be at a place where they're going to go 90 miles an hour. Lots of things are going to be happening. It's going to be a whirlwind of activity. And then they're going to hit a wall. And when they hit that wall, it needs to be more than just sending them an extra check. It needs to be more than just a Zoom call. It needs to be more than just a letter of encouragement. You need somebody to come. And I said, say less. We will try to find a way to make that happen. So while you guys were getting into church last week, we were stepping off a plane in Geneva, Switzerland. In the middle of the night, we rented a car, drove all the way to their house and surprised them for Christmas. Walked in their home, knocked on their door, and next week you get to see the video of what happened when High Ridge shows up at their door in Albertville, France. So we spent a couple days with them, got to know their missionary friends and the people that they're doing life and ministry with and learning the French language. And then we got to take them on an overnight trip on a train to go to Geneva, Switzerland, and spend a couple days just pampering them, loving them, letting them play hooky from school. I said, let's just go out and let's just bond together and hang out together. And that meant the world to them. So they're watching today. It's nighttime over there. But to George and Lisa Berry and all of our friends in France, we got you. And your family loves you very, very, very much. And I'm so glad we could actually keep a secret. I didn't tell many of you because y'all have a bunch of big mouths and y'all would have told them. So we wanted to make sure that they know that you are loved and supported and you are not alone. And we care very deeply about those that are willing to give their life for the cause of Christ. And so we're thankful for you. So Luke chapter 1, if that's all right, we're going to get into the word together today. Luke chapter 1. I want to say, bear with me because we were able to go all the way to the other side of the world to come back. But a little bit of the other side of the world came back with me. And so we came back with the flu. All of us got sick at some point. So I'm getting over it. But let me just tell you, it was worth it. I don't care. Don't care. Get a chance to see my friends and hang out with them. It was still wonderful. So Luke chapter 1. Before Luke gets into the Christmas story, he gives us a little introduction. And I want to read the first 4 verses. He says this, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything From the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, Snuffleupagus. I'm assuming that we're pronouncing that right. Why am I writing this to you? He says, so that you may know the certainty, somebody say certainty, of the things you've been taught. That really is my heart and my hope for you, that you would know the certainty of the things you've been taught. The certainty of the things you've been taught. The certainty of what you're reading. The certainty of what you're experiencing with the Lord. That you would have this at the foundational element of who you are. That you would know it to be true. He says, I'm writing all these things. I've investigated this. I'm handing this to you so that you would know with certainty what you've been taught. Let's take a moment and pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. Your word is a life. Your word is light. I pray that right now, Lord, our hearts would be open and attentive. Our minds would be alert. That we would receive from you all that you have in store for us. In the name of Jesus. And all of us said together, amen, amen, amen. So I want to bring a message today called Learning to Process. Somebody say, learning to process. That is something that is easier said than done, learning to process. Now, when you start hitting the 4-0s, the 5-0s, the 6-0s, you start learning the value of being able to process what is happening versus just reacting, right? You spend a lot of your young years just reacting to things or pressing fast forward to the next thing. Let me just move on to the next thing. What's next? What's next? What's next? And you forget the value of being able to process through a powerful moment. Think back to the canon events of your life. The young people say, canon events. This is like one of my core memories, those canon events. How you process through your canon events is going to make a big difference to the way that you live the rest of your life. Learning to process is critical in the lives of not just human beings, but also believers. And this is the filter that Luke is putting on chapter 1. He's learning to process all the things that have just happened. Jesus has now ascended, and people are just in awe of what they've just witnessed. It tends to have that effect when somebody just rises up off the ground and flies into the air. People start standing around in awe saying, you know what? He might have been the Son of God. I didn't know we could fly. Have you seen anybody do that? And so Luke says, let me process. Let me process all the different things that are flying out around here and all the different stories and the rumors and this person said this and this person said that. Let me put all that together and carefully investigate everything so that I can teach it to somebody else and that they will know with certainty that this ain't just a rumor. This happened. Learning to process. Now, I'm grateful that we live in a time where there are cell phones in every pocket, where we have video. I'm grateful to be able to speak to people all around the world through the miracle of the internet. But I'm also grateful that I grew up in a time where there was no videos, because that means ain't no evidence of half of the things that I did. Ain't nothing but rumors, and none of it can be factually proven beyond just a couple of people saying something. But most of you need to keep your mouth shut. I'm grateful to have grown up in a time where you can't prove some of the things that happen. They're just allegedly, right? Allegedly that happened. Some of you will never know what it's like to grow up in a time where you couldn't document everything. But what happens when you document everything? You forget to process through the greatest things. Some of the greatest moments of my life, those canon events, I've been able to process through the miracle of that moment. If you've ever had the opportunity to become a parent, you know what it's like. The moment that you see your own child be born, when they take their first breath, I just describe it as it's the moment where you realize there's a part of your heart you haven't used before. There's a deeper love than you've ever known. And you can love your spouse with a deep love. You can love your parents. You can love your family members. But until you see your own children, you don't understand that kind of love until you experience it. It's just a unique part of life. And I remember the very first time that I saw my son be born, I was experiencing a lot of firsts that day. So he was born by C-section, and I'd never seen an operation. I never had surgery. I'd never been in a surgical room and never experienced anything like that except on television. And so watching someone get cut open was crazy. And there's excitement and a little disgust at the same time. Like, am I okay? And the doctor is like cutting and looking at you like, you okay, Dad? I'm like, I think so. So it's a little much. And so watching surgery happen was, it was cool and freaky. And then they saw all of a sudden they pull out this little tiny gray shriveled up old man version of you. And he looks at you and you look at him, you're like, wow, you look exactly like me. And parts of your heart become open for the first time, and other parts of you say, I'm sorry, kid. It's the best it's going to get. You're looking at the future, and it didn't work out for you. But there's parts of your heart that open up for the very first time that you've never experienced. And when you process through the miracle of that moment, you recognize, like, this is a core memory for me, and I need to remember that. I need to hang on to this moment. I don't want to ever forget what it felt like to watch my son be born. Now, the second time that I was in that same room watching my daughter be born, it's a completely different experience because I knew what to expect. What I didn't understand is there's a difference between having a boy and having a girl. And when they hand you that little perfect little girl, it's different. And with a son, your heart swells with pride. And with a daughter, you're just like, oh, I'm going to do horrible things to make sure that you get whatever you want. You already have me wrapped around your little finger, and you don't even know what you're doing to me. And I remember in that moment, like, everything else just kind of faded away, and I started dancing with her around the room, and the doctor's like, are you okay? I'm like, I don't even care right now. I'm just dancing with my little girl. And I remember giving her very, very first kiss. I'm like, that was me. I'm daddy. That's my daughter. I get the first kiss. It's a powerful moment that I have to process, and I never want to forget how amazing that moment was. Do you have those memories? Do you have those moments where you look back and you're like, oh, don't ever let me forget that. That was powerful. That was an important moment for me. And you forget about how hungry you might have been or how tired or, you know, the problems leading up to the pregnancies. We forgot about the fact that we had lost two children before. Like, all that stuff paled in comparison to the beauty of that moment. And as Luke is processing through, before he ever gets to the introduction of the Christmas story and the miracle that happened, he says, I've got to tell you, I've investigated all of these powerful miracles and things that happened when Christ walked the earth. I've investigated them completely so that you guys will know with certainty the things that you've been taught. You got to know this. This is an important moment, not just for me personally, Luke says, but for the world. And before he introduces the Christmas story, he gives us a great introduction. And I've never preached, I've never even heard this preached in Luke chapter 1, these first four verses, but I think it's important and timely that the Lord leads us to this place in Scripture today. One of the unique things about this book, the book of Luke, is that this is the only gospel written by a Gentile. And so if you're not a Jew, if you're not of Israeli descent, you're a Gentile. So this is written by one of us, and it's written to a Gentile, written by us, to us. It's an outsider's book, and I like that. It's written to Theophilus, it's written to a Greek, so that they would understand, like, he's not just the Savior and the King of the Jews, he's a Savior to us, to the outsiders as well. So there's three things that I want to make sure that we understand as we're talking about learning to process and the importance of processing through what the Lord is doing and what God is tending to be up to. And the first of those three things, if you're a note taker, you might want to write this down. Number one, it is important to examine what the Lord has done. It's important to examine what the Lord has done. Perhaps more important than asking God for things that he should do or we want him to do, we need to examine what he's already done. So this is the heart that Luke takes as he begins to investigate and write down all the different stories that are happening as he puts together the Christmas story and the rest of chapter one. We recognize it is important to examine what the Lord has done. If we don't take time to examine what the Lord has done in our lives, we might see what he's done. We'll never understand why he did it. You'll miss the point. I think as believers, we can see what God is doing, but it's something entirely different to recognize why? Why did he do it? I wonder how many things the Lord has done that we missed the point of because we didn't examine why. Let me process through what the Lord has done. As we come to the end of this year, I wonder, have you processed through what happened this year, what God did for you, in you, through you this year? Or only you, or are you just waiting to get to the next year? I found if you don't process through what the Lord has done, you'll tend to take a lot of baggage into next year that doesn't belong there. Let me say it this way. Great faith comes when we remember God's goodness and believe that what he has done, he'll do again. It's important that we process through what the Lord has done so we can figure out why. And then recognize that no matter what happens next year, I believe that what God has done, he will do again. What did God do for you this past year? It would take hardly any effort at all for us to say what God didn't do, what we wish he would have done. But can we recognize what he did do and believe that the same God that we just sang about a few moments ago, he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that was there for them can be and will be there for us in the future. The same God that covered my past is the same God that covers my future. It's important that we process, what has God done? Why did he do it? What could that be showing me about what's coming next? Luke said he carefully investigated everything. Notice he said, I've myself investigated everything. I'm not just taking other people's word for it. I went and got some receipts, as the young people say. Now, for most of us, if you're going to carefully investigate anything, it's normally because somebody did something wrong to you. Or you're sniffing out like there might be a conspiracy there, or I feel like something's going wrong. If you're going to carefully investigate things, let it start with, what's God doing? Not what are they doing? Or what could they be plotting? What would happen if you turned your Sherlock Holmes? What would happen if you turned your magnifying glass? What would happen if you turned that upon the Lord? And say, Lord, let me carefully investigate what you're doing. What would happen in your life if you stopped worrying about the conspiracy and focused on the Creator? Amen. Lord, let me carefully investigate you. What are you doing? Let me be a part of what you're thinking and how you're moving, how you're shaping things. Luke says, I've carefully investigated everything. Let me say it this way. When I examine what God has done, I start to see his patterns and begin to understand his heart. This is a good word for many of us because we carefully investigate a lot of other things and we start recognizing patterns in people's lives and patterns in our enemies and patterns in the conspiracy, and we forget that God wants us to know his heart and his patterns. He wants us to know his ways. It's better when you carefully investigate the things that the Lord is doing and not spend your time wasting on what they may be doing. I'm preaching better than you're amening. I'm telling you, this is good for you. We need to know this. Let me say it this way. I love Psalm 46, and this is a powerful scripture because it hits me right where I am, and it speaks directly against my own nature and character. Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I'm God. I don't do that very well. Anybody else? I hadn't been still since about the age of 3. Some call that ADD. Some call, we've got all kinds of initials we could put on it. But understanding the heart of God, recognizing his patterns, takes a stillness, takes being quiet, takes listening, takes studying, takes discipline. And those are things that they're not sexy anymore, but they're still valuable. Amen? You could say amen to not sexy. I said not sexy. It's important to examine what the Lord has done. Look at this. There is great value in sitting down in stillness and thinking on the goodness and kindness of our God. I've been drawn to that word this year. It was kind of my word at the beginning of the year, is to focus on the kindness of God and to thank God for his kindness. God has been extremely kind to me this year. God has been extremely kind to my family. And I begin to let that be reflected in my prayers. I don't know about you, but this has been a powerful breakthrough year for me, just in focusing on the fact that God has been kind to me. Kind. Who is the kindest person that you know? Think about the kindness of your God. The Bible says it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. And the more that I focus on the kindness of God and recognize that he's been kind to me and to my children, kind to our church, he's been kind to us, I recognize that, man, I've got a lot to say thank you for. And it brings me to a place of humility where I recognize, man, God's been so kind. I don't want to ruin that. I don't want to mess that up. He's been very kind to me. Has God been kind to anybody else in this place? Here's the second thing I want to share with you. Number two, it's important to recognize the season. Somebody say the season. The season. One of the things that has gripped Christianity is constantly looking for the end times and the rapture, looking for the day and the time where Jesus is coming back. It's been that way for several hundred years. But Jesus says this more than once. He said, it's not for you to know the date and the time. That's not for you to know. But he did say, you're supposed to know the season. And I think there are multiple layers to everything Jesus says. We can take it on a surface level. We can take it on a spiritual level. We can take it on an intellectual and emotional level. But we understand that God is a seasonal and a generational God. Those are two things that don't get taught much anymore. But your God works in seasons. He moves in seasons and cycles. There's a reason why Jesus over and over in his parables talks about agriculture, because it moves in seasons. It's a time to reap, a time to sow, it's a time to plant, it's a time to reap up. Jesus over and over gives stories about us recognizing the season. His creation screams four seasons. Now, in Texas, we don't get four seasons. You get hot and then not quite as hot. Then sometimes you get ice, and that's about it. And about every 2 years, you get a tornado. But our God moves in seasons, and in the same way, God moves through generations. That means it's bigger than you, and it's bigger than me. That there's a legacy that you've been handed, and there's a legacy that you will hand off. And this should inspire us and challenge each of us to think about something bigger than ourselves in our own lifetime and the dates on our tombstone, what we're leaving behind. You see, God moves in seasons, and your life has seasons as well. There's a season where you're learning. There's a season where you're doing. There's a season where you're teaching. And it moves in cycles. We can always learn. We can always do. We can always teach. And sometimes the greatest tension of our life is when God moves you from one season to the next and you don't want to. I've just gotten good at this. You ever been there? God's trying to teach you something and you just want to just do something. Like, no, I'm doing this. I don't want to learn anything else right now. I can't learn. But there's a time to learn, a time to do, a time to teach. And God moves in seasons in our lives to show us that. Let me say it this way. What you're most effective at today will change as you grow in God. Did you know that? Pastors have the biggest issue with this in the world, that there are times where what you're most effective at will change. But you've received a lot of great feedback in one season and you have a hard time walking into the next one. You don't want to let go of the fact that people liked you in this one. You're good at it. But what you're good at and effective at will change as you grow in the Lord. And it should. It's supposed to. Luke says this, just as they, meaning all the stories, all the things about Jesus, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. That means those that spent time with Jesus, those that were eyewitnesses, they handed them down to us. And the things that we've learned, Luke says, now I'm handing them down to you. Do you see the generation? Do you see the seasons? It says they were witnesses and they were servants. They saw it, they learned, they did it, and now they're teaching. He says, I saw it, I investigated, I learned. At the same time, Luke is saying, look, I'm working with Paul. I'm in the middle of ministry now, but at the same time, I'm handing off something to Theophilus. Learning, doing, teaching. We see the pattern in the life of a believer modeled for us by Luke. Sometimes you're learning, sometimes you're doing, Sometimes you're teaching. Number three, and I'll finish with this. It's important to hand down a spiritual legacy. At some point, it's not enough to come to church, and I'm thankful that you do. I want the church to come to your home. I want you to be the church in your home. I want you to be the church in your community. I want you to be the church on your job. Be the hands and the feet of Christ. When we do that, when we make Jesus bigger than just a Sunday morning, an hour and 10 minute Jesus, it begins to have an effect on our city. It has an effect on our home. And it leaves a legacy that outlasts me and outlasts you. That's the heart and the hope of what we're trying to build here. We've been handed something, and we're trying to give the next generation something better than what we were handed. Every generation should try to give the next generation a bigger head start. Why? Look at me, because they're going to need it. The world that your grandchildren will grow up in is not your same world. Seasons change. But God's a generational God. God says in the beginning, I'm the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Generations. Think of those that came before you. Think of those that are coming after. What was handed to you? What will you hand them? It's bigger than just me. It's bigger than just you. So Luke says, the reason why I'm writing this, before he launches into the Christmas story, so the reason why I'm writing all these things down is so that you will know with certainty the things you've been taught. There's a big difference between being taught and understanding something. There's a big difference between being taught something and believing something. Amen? There's a big difference between being taught and letting it encapsulate every part of your life. You can go to college and learn a lot of information, learn a lot of knowledge, but when you start believing certain things, it becomes part of who you are. And Luke says, that's my heart and my hope. I've done all the work so I can give the next generation something much better. I want them to know with certainty the things that they've been taught. I want my story to convince others that Jesus will help them too. That's the heart of my ministry. Jesus helped me. I needed help. And I'm hoping that my story convinces them that Jesus will help them too. They're gonna need it. I want my children to know with certainty that the Lord cares about them and has a plan for their lives. And you should want that as well. For those of you that are single or single again, those of you that have not yet had children or having issues having children, those that have more children than you know what to do with, those of you who want to give some of those kids back. Those that are now working on the second and third generation of great-grandchildren, this is what we want to leave behind, a relationship with Jesus. Proverbs tells us that a wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. An inheritance, in my opinion, is much greater than money. Because I know for a fact that if you just give the next generation money, that may ruin them. How many people know that I like to be given money? That's really nice. But it's better if I earned it. I'll do better with it. So inheritance in this moment and in this version of scripture that we're reading is bigger than just handing your children a check. It's giving them a legacy. And Luke says, I want you to know that I've done all the work so that you will know with certainty the things that you've been taught. That this is a good foundation to build your life on. That this is something that will stand the test of time. That's my heart, my hope for my children. I hope it's your heart and your hope for those that are coming after you. You know, my parents' generation and perhaps your parents' generation, they were raised at the time in the 60s and 70s where it was all about end times and rapture. And so we were raised up believing a gospel that was consumed with fear. And I was taught things like Jesus is going to come at any moment, so none of this stuff matters. I don't know if anyone else was raised kind of like that, but it was, you know, like, hey, when I get married, don't worry about that. You're not going to live that long. What? Jesus is coming back. You don't have to worry about getting married. Well, I want my kids. Don't worry about having kids. You're not going to have kids. Jesus is coming back. Well, do I need to go to school tomorrow? Am I supposed to study for this test, or is that, do we know when? Because that would be really helpful if I'm going to study for this test. Don't need it. Jesus is coming back. Like, that was my problem. I didn't study for nothing. Why? Jesus is coming back. Don't need this. Eat, drink, be merry. Jesus is coming back. But we have to hand our children something better than that. So I want to encourage you, like Luke says, carefully investigate your walk with Jesus. Carefully investigate what Jesus has done for you. Process through the things that you've seen and heard. Process through what has happened this year so that you don't take unnecessary things into next year. And I say that because I watched what happened between 2020 and 2021. It was very easy for us to hit the fast forward button and just get out of this year, as if the changing of a calendar would mean that the things of 2020 would just leave us alone. That didn't happen. 2021 was the year of the fallout. And 2022 and 2023, we're seeing a mental health crisis like we've never seen, because you cannot put people in that kind of stress and anxiety for that long and then expect that there will be no ramifications later on down the line. We're now seeing what happens when you put us in that kind of stress. That doesn't mean that something's wrong with you. You're human. But when you carefully investigate not what they did to us and what we're going to do to them, or what who's going to be and that's going to happen and this is going to go. Why? Because we're going into election year. Hello. You're going to start carefully investigating a lot of stupid things. Let's follow after Luke. He says, I've carefully investigated this right here so that I could hand off to my children something bigger than the next election cycle, something bigger than the next global catastrophe, something bigger than just the next fear or anxiety, something bigger than just the rapture Jesus. I want them to know with certainty the things that they've been taught. This is the firm foundation, the rock on which we stand. This is the God that we need to hand down to our children. So I want to challenge you as we're finishing up today. I want to challenge you with a couple things. Some people like end of the year challenges, and some of you are like, that ain't me. I'm just trying to make it through. I get it. That's okay. You could tune out for the next couple of minutes. I want to give you a couple things. Because Christmas is the season of miracles, and it's a wonderful thing to be a part of what God is doing. But I want to make sure that you process well. So here's the first challenge. I want to put this on the board if you'd like a little end of the year challenge. Write a social media post of something that you prayed for this year and how God answered that prayer. Now, it's still Longview, so be careful. Don't use a lot of names. You don't have to use the dates because people will freak out and gossip, and this is Gossip Central. I get it. But did God answer a prayer for you? Because before you walk into next year and start giving God your Christmas list of things that you need him to answer, can you thank him publicly for what he did do? Process through the fact that God answered something on your behalf, and then publicly praise the Lord for answering your prayers. This is where you become the church. And you'd be surprised, the people that are walking through exactly what you walk through, they just need a little bit of encouragement. They need to remember that the answer is found in my relationship with the Lord. You get the chance to do that. So I want to challenge you to think about that. If there was something that God did for you, if there's a way that he answered your prayer, post about it. You post about everything else. Why don't you post about him for just a second? Here's a second challenge if you'd like. This one is a little bit different, but be an answer to someone else's prayer this week. Don't post about it. Just do it because it's the right thing to do. For some of us, you know that there's someone in your life that needs an answer to prayer, and you can be the answer to the prayer. Now, do not embarrass them. Don't blast their business. That's not what we're about. The Bible says don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing when you're doing that, but just be the answer to prayer that someone else needs. Christmas is a season of miracles. You get to be the miracle. So I want to challenge you. If you like an end of the year challenge, I think that's something that you might want to focus on. Think about a time where God answered your prayer this year. Praise him publicly and be an answer to somebody else's prayer before the end of the year is done. Can we do that? If you're not quite sure how that works out, I'm going to pray in just a few moments and just ask the Lord to show you, if that's okay. So would you bow your head and close your eyes? And once again, if you're watching us online, if you liked what you heard today, please hit that share button. It means a lot to us. Let's pray together as we finish up today. Father, I thank you for my friends. And I thank you for your word. I pray that your word would be sealed into our hearts and that we would know, not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. I pray, Lord, that we would never be ashamed of what you've done for us, that we would be your hands and your feet and a miracle in someone else's life like you've been to us. Holy Spirit, would you come and show us opportunities to share your love this Christmas season, to be an answer to prayer that someone may need, to help, to be generous, to be giving, because you've been so kind to us. Thank you, Jesus. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. And now with heads bowed and eyes closed, perhaps you're watching today or you're here in this room and you're saying, Pastor, man, if I'm going to be honest, I do not have a relationship with Jesus. I need one. My friend, if you need a relationship with Jesus, then I want you to pray with me. I'll tell you what to say, but would you pray with me? Pray these words. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came and died. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you did that so that I could have life and forgiveness for all of my sins. I invite you to come into my heart. Take over. Forgive me. Heal me. Save me. I give my life to you right now in Jesus' name. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, if that was you, my friend, if you prayed that prayer with no one looking around, would you just slip your hand up and say, that was me? I did. I prayed that prayer. I did. Good for you. If you're watching online, there's a number appearing on the screen. Would you text me if you prayed that prayer? Text the number 844-HRC-TEXT. Text the words I prayed to that number. If you do that, I'll send you some things that will help you understand what just happened in your heart and what to do next. Good for you. I'm proud of you. High Ridge family, go ahead and look up at me and stand to your feet if you would. It's been such an honor bringing God's word to you here today. And I'm going to have our elders and their wives step forward. As the service ends today, I want you to know that we have people that are going to be waiting right here to pray for you about any issue that you may need. We believe our God still answers prayer. I want to remind you that next Sunday is Legacy Sunday. If you've ever wondered, where does the money go? If you've ever wondered, how are we reaching people all around the world? Have you ever wondered what kind of a difference a church in Longview, Texas could actually be making all around the world? Next week, you get a chance to see it. And let me just tell you, it is a massive undertaking. A lot of people have worked very hard to collect all the data and all the information and all the ways that your generosity is making a difference. And so I don't want you to miss it. It's going to be powerful. You need to see the way that you're making a difference. You need to know this. You need to be able to see the legacy that you're leaving when you're a part of this church. God has done some of the most amazing things that you could imagine. And you don't need to just see it for yourself. You need to also understand that this is in response to the prophetic. We value the voice of the Lord. And every year in January, we start out with fasting and praying and the prophetic, asking God to speak. And when God speaks in January, we lay out the rest of the year based upon what God told us to do. I need you to know that the leadership of this church is not me. It is the voice of the Lord. My job is just to be obedient to whatever God told us to do. Come hell or high water, I have to be obedient to what God said. It's what makes us different than other churches. We're not being led by man's wisdom. We're not being led by the money. We're not being led by what Longview is doing or what everyone else is doing. We're only being led by what God told us specifically to do. In the middle of January, we line our budget up with whatever God tells us to do. And it's important that you know that. Next Sunday, you get a chance to see it. At the end of the service on next Sunday, I'm going to ask you if you would like to be a part of paying off this building. We're going to do an offering at the end of that service for you to be a part of that. Over the past few years, it's been nothing short of miraculous to watch God do powerful things when you guys step up. But I ask the same question every year. When I show you all the things that we're doing, I'm going to ask you the question, say, imagine what we could do if we didn't have debt on this building. The debt on this building started out at $2.2 million. It is now at $700,000. Is that right, Pastor Mark? $700,000? $700,000. You guys have been miraculously chipping away at that. And don't forget, we paid off a $540,000 piece of property that we just bought next door. We did all that this year. Like, you guys are... Y'all are great, and I'm so stinking proud to be a part of a church that stands behind the vision of what God is telling us to do. Thank you for that. Next Sunday, Legacy Sunday, I'm going to give you a chance to be a part of what God is doing. And so I want to ask you between now and then to be praying. I will never, ever try to manipulate you or make you feel guilty for not giving. I will not do that. But I'm going to ask you to listen to the Holy Spirit and be obedient to whatever he tells you to do. If he tells you don't give a dime, you don't give a dime. But I also want to make sure that whatever he tells you to do, that you do it. Families, I want to make sure that you know this. It's important that you give together. You're teaching your children how to leave a legacy behind that's bigger than just you. Don't let your giving as a family just be done by one person. Do it together. Decide what you're going to give as husband and wife. You'd be surprised at what God can do when you're linking together with your generosity. It's a powerful part of your marriage. It really is cool. I wish you would trust me on that. It's a powerful thing. For everybody else, let me pray for you and bless you as we go. Father, would you bless my friends with an incredible week, following after you, listening to your heart, being your hands and feet all week long in Jesus' name. And all of us said together, amen. God bless you as you go. I hope you have an amazing week.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week and we will see you next time.